A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cast.
The most common question we get is, are you afraid you're screwing up your kids? And yeah, we reply 100% yes.
I honestly think that people who aren't worried about screwing up their kids are more likely to screw up their kids.
My parents never let me fail, therefore, I don't know how to ask for things. Are you serious? Get over yourself.
You are about to enter a season of parenthood that you're not used to, all right? The feelings that you're used to her having are lovey-dovey. She's becoming a woman now, and she's going to have different feelings, which means you're going to have different feelings.
You do not escape childhood without some junk attached, yeah, right?
It's the Holderness Family Podcast. Let's get started.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. We make the crazy videos on the YouTube, if you ever want to use the Google to look us up on the internet.
And on the Facebooks.
Yep.
Your aunt shares them.
Yeah.
No, we love them. And we love like the goofiness and the silliness of it. And we love it. But I have to say, what we love best of all, this podcast.
It seriously is our favorite part of the week. It is 1 hour of uninterrupted, screen-free conversations that we can have with each other, and it's making us, I think, better as a married couple. We're getting better at marriaging.
Marriaging, that's a verb I used yesterday. We're like, yes, there's all these parenting magazines. Why aren't there marriaging magazines?
We're going to steal that on the book that we're writing.
Yes, so we have a book proposal that we're putting together on marriaging, and maybe it'll see the light of day one day, or not. Who knows?
But today we're going to talk about parenting a little, yes, bit more than we normally do. And we're going to address this question that we've done lots of public speaking. We've done lots of interviews. Not a single one has ever gone by where someone has not asked us, are you worried you're going to screw up your kids?
So in this episode, we talk about times we have definitely screwed up.
Yeah.
100% screwed up. And then how the act of, you know, how to apologize and how to ask for forgiveness.
And we ask ourselves, like, how bad is this going to screw them up? Are we really screwing them up? And is there really any way of knowing?
Yeah. But right, isn't that the worst feeling, right? You know you've just done something wrong or said something wrong and you just want to crawl into a hole. Is that just me? I just want to
No.
I want to like rewind time. I'm like, oh my God.
No, it's not just you. And it's even worse when it's, you know, this child that's incredibly impressionable and is the most important thing in the world to you, and you don't really know how to fix it, because that happens a lot too.
Yeah. We're really setting ourselves up to sound like terrible parents. We are not that terrible, but I hope you'll give it a listen. We also talk about like what, I mean, let's just be honest. It was a total segue. What Penn and Kim is me. I'm Kim. find kind of, what are plus and minuses in the yield, the attraction to the opposite sex?
It's a system that I've been using for years about certain things that make a four a nine.
Yeah.
And things that make a nine a four.
Flight suits, ladies. That's all I have to say. Flight suits.
You have made that abundantly clear.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that eight or nine more times. And listen, let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Hey.
Morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? How was everyone's Mother's Day?
thank you so much for the amazing feedback on last week's podcast. We had my mom on, if you didn't listen to it, and so many people were commenting on things that I already know, which is she's so amazing and gracious, and she's just so wise, and she gives such good advice. And in our podcast group on Facebook, you guys let us know that we've not been able to reply to your comments because Facebook is sucking my will to live, and they're not giving us the ability to reply to comments right now in our Facebook group. Yeah, so they're on it, yeah. But it's a thing.
There was this thing called the War on Christmas. I don't know if you guys remember it. This is the war on Facebook that Kim is waging.
Well, it's how we communicate with our, you know, with our people and our community. And I'm like, they're saying such nice things about my mom, and I haven't been able to say something. I guess we should plug now, because Facebook's not letting us reply. We have a newsletter we send every week. Did you even know that, Penn?
Why do I seem surprised?
Yes.
I remember someone talking about it several months ago, yes, as if it might be a thing.
It's a thing we have.
That's so great.
So if you go to theholdernessfamily.com, you'll get a little pop-up, and it's like, sign up for our newsletter. And it's not annoying. It's like once a week, and we just send out like what we've been up to, and it's like really just like self-indulgent. Like, we just send out the videos we've done, and like sometimes some recipes, and sometimes some special behind-the-scenes stuff. So go there.
We have recipes?
Yes, honey.
That's amazing. I mean, I know you have recipes and stuff that you make. I didn't know that you've been sharing those with the world.
I've been sharing them with our email list. So yeah, but hopefully we'll be back in ye old Facebook group here very soon. We've done nothing wrong. Facebook literally has no idea what's going on.
Maybe it'll be fixed by the time this comes on.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
But it's, you know, our life is largely the ability to upload on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that has been a challenge.
That's been a thing. Yeah. Anyway, so I will say I had a lovely Mother's Day, mostly because my hubs, he doesn't know how to upload videos on Facebook. It's so funny.
I'm frequently told that I'm doing it wrong.
No.
Because I probably am.
So last week, I heard him like fumbling around in the morning, and then he like gave me the laptop, and he opened it up, and he played this song, like this kind of parody song that was so sweet and a little outside of like what we always do, like it was a little sappy and sweet, and I bawled like a baby. And I don't know if it's going to work over a podcast, but can we play it?
Yeah, sure. I guess just like imagine that there's pictures on top of it. But yeah, it should work.
Yeah, let's play it.
Okay. There are thousands of pictures of when they were small, but she's the one missing 'cause she took them all. But when you do see her, she's super pretty. Even covered in drool, she is always a woman to me. She puts on these same sweatpants every night. She tucks the kids in and she turns out the light. Then wakes up and feeds them at 7:30. She works like a mom, but she's always a woman to me. Oh, she takes care of our bills and cleans up all our spills, even disgusting slime. Oh, she puts up with my crap. She puts them in her lap. She has zero free time. And she takes him to games to help him be a baller. She gives her piggybacks even though she is taller. And when they do homework, she sits patiently. She's an all-time mom, but she's always a woman to me. And she will go dancing till 3:15. She's the hottest one there, and she's always a woman to me. In case they might cry. Oh, when she's not cleaning our mess,
great in a dress, and now I'll magnify. She's the only one here who knows how to pay taxes. It'll be 10 more years till she finally relaxes, and it's only her who can make us happy. And she'll always do what is best for you too, but she's always a woman to me.
First of all, I'm like crying. I mean, just so sweet. And I think my favorite part was the acknowledgement of like, I take all the pictures. And
well, I was in, I did this video, I edited it. And yeah. So I had to go through your photos.
Yeah.
And finding photos of you for a Mother's Day video was more difficult than I thought it was going to be. Because you take all the pictures.
Right.
And I took some of them, but really, like when I had the camera, it was when the baby was born, either baby, and it was just full on baby. Like yeah. No one with the baby, just baby.
Yeah.
But you did a good job taking pictures of me with the baby.
Right.
Recognizing that maybe somewhere down the road I would want that.
Right.
And I did not do that.
Right.
So this song was equal part an homage to you and also like, sorry, I didn't take any pictures.
Well, I think that I had to get bold enough because I'm not like one of those like, hey, take a picture of me type of people, but I've had to get, hey, take a picture right now, yeah. Like hand the phone, and you don't hate it at all, but you don't like.
I don't think about it. I have to make an effort to think to put
right.
You in a
and
picture.
I'm like, okay, can you make sure like the garbage can isn't behind us, and like you have to stage it a little bit. But so I think, ladies, my advice, and gentlemen, so get your person in the pictures. So yeah, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
All of this, by the way, was before the selfie. Like once the selfie happened, once there were phones and even cameras where you could rear face the monitor, we got better.
Yeah, like my friend Liz Weaver and I, we have some good 1998 selfies,
like the original selfie
camera.
Yeah.
And we didn't know where we were pointing it, and then we'd take it to the drugstore to get it developed, and half of them were of our foreheads. But
right, those are the best ones though, and they're overexposed because you take them at night, so it's just like your teeth.
We're teeth like in a bar. It was good times though.
Yeah.
Panama City Beach.
Wasn't that also, I feel like we should go down this road a little more. Wasn't that where all the naval officers used to always show up in their flight suits?
So my first job after college was in Panama City Beach at WMBB, World's Most Beautiful Beaches. I was a television news reporter.
Is that really what it stood for?
Yes. Wow. News anchor. So I made the best friend of my life. She worked at the other station, and we would like get together on crime scenes and shoot each other's stories for each other, which was like highly...
Because you didn't have a photographer.
We didn't have a photographer.
Yeah.
So we'd go out at night, and this is where the Tyndall Air Force Base and the guys from the Air Force Base would literally like wear their flight suits around town. And I'm sorry, guys.
Because of course.
Because you could put a cow patty in a flight suit and it's hot. Like I would date the cow patty.
It's really interesting. Like I'm sitting here thinking about, we use this system sometimes, like the plus system or the minus system. There are certain situations that are pluses.
Yeah, you go +8 in a flight suit.
Flight suit is a plus. That may be the biggest swing that there is.
Well, I mean, uniforms.
Yeah, like a Boy Scout uniform would be a -7.
I mean, I'm not going to go -7.
If I rolled in like a Scoutmaster uniform with like the standard issue brown socks that go up to the knee.
At middle age, yeah, a little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
But
I have this pair of pajamas that Kim got me from Burt's Bees. They're a local company. I love them, but their pajamas make me look like Grimace.
They're a little hippie.
Yeah, and so those were like, I think we called those -5s.
Yeah. But then one time our dishwasher caught on fire. Like the kids were little, like, and I was there by myself because you were being an evening news anchor, and I had I used the fire extinguisher, have a fire extinguisher, people, and I put the dishwasher out, and I called the fire department, obviously, and like like four trucks showed up, and like each truck, they were just like hotter than the next. And I think it's because they were like, A, rescuing me and my babies, and B, like in these like uniforms.
Right.
I think if I had seen them on the street, like at the grocery store,
you'd be like whatever.
I was like, who are my single friends I can call? Oh my gosh, guys, I have like a house full of hot guys. Anyway, this is not where this podcast is going.
But I like it. I like it because I know how to segue.
Okay, so where, but by the way, where, what goes plus whatever for you, for women?
For us, it's like, it's like Halloween outfits of like teachers that are really tight, or like nurses, or no, that's not good. Okay, you know, one of the big ones is like when you're at a place with all guys and then a girl shows up. Like you're
prison.
I mean, I've never been to prison, but that's kind of the example. Let me give another one. Please. Fishing trips. So you're on a fishing trip with like nine guys, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you have not seen a girl, and then you see a girl. So it's like absence that does it for us. And then you'll see a girl and be like, "Wow, look at that pretty girl." And then you kind of think about it.
So just the lack of
options,
yeah, is what. Oh my god,
the lack of options. I don't,
male brain is such a fascinating.
You know, I'm sure there's other things, but it's definitely not fireman outfits in women. It's not the same things. Like, it's not flight suits. It is you know, at a sports bar,
yeah,
if there's like 27 guys watching a game and there's one girl. Like, there's options.
That she, like, wants, like, tending to, like, bar.
No, they're just better. It's not that it's hot. They're just better looking than they would normally be because they're the only...
next to, like, your friend, Matt Wilson. Yeah.
Okay. Which is, like, very common, being next to my friend Matt Wilson. So, yeah.
Love me some Matt Wilson.
I know. Me too.
Okay. So, anyway, we were going to talk about 8 minutes ago. We were going to start talking
about... I don't remember what we were talking about. I don't think I'm...
up our kids.
You know what's happening? I'm not really looking forward to this conversation.
So
I think we need to have it, but I would rather spend the rest of this podcast doing the plus minus system, and I reserve the right to just interject every once in a while with another one.
Okay.
It's not that I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time.
But really you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, here's the deal. Okay. Sorry, he's waving me closer to the microphone, guys. Sorry. So here's the deal. I listen to or read self-help books nonstop, and I listen to a lot of them on Audible, not hashtag not sponsored. Just as like I'm, you know, going for a walk or I'm doing laundry or whatever it is, I'm listening. And I downloaded this one, and it was like this life coach who I really like. There's nothing against this life coach person, but she's kind of coaching people through, you know, areas where they're stuck and, you know, how they react to fear. And it's, you know, it's helpful. But I had to stop listening because every single one of them had a way to blame their parents for what was wrong in their life now. I didn't get all the way through it. So I don't, but the ones that I did listen to, I listened to like four or five of these coaching sessions. None of them were physically abused. And some of them was like their parents had these super high expectations of them. Like, how dare they? And they basically, everything that happened in their childhood is like, this is why I'm screwed up. It's because my parents did this to me. And now that I'm a parent, I'm like, dude.
You'd like to advocate for the parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, because I tell my kids all the time, daily, tell your therapist that your mom and dad tried their very hardest. And my mom would say that to me, like, with the tools we had, we did the very best we could. And I would just... And I get that some childhoods are messed up. Some childhoods have legitimate trauma. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we as parents are probably screwing up our kids on a daily basis. And like, what are the things we should be apologizing for? And what are the things like, let's give them the tools to recover from this so in adulthood they don't have to be like, I'm afraid to ask for that promotion because my parents never let me fail. My parents never let me fail. Therefore, I don't know how to ask for things. Are you serious? Get over yourself.
And then the very last segment will be how, as parents, to, you know, except the fact that this is going to happen, because we've got to work on that with Kim.
Well, no, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, there's I have issues in my life, and I can trace them back to childhood, but am I going to blame my parents for it? Like, I yes. No, seriously, I have, like, childhood, everybody, you do not escape childhood without some junk attached, yeah. Right? But I feel like the successful people are the ones that, like, can overcome it. I would love, like, raise your hand, except if you're driving, if you escaped childhood with absolutely no trauma of some sort.
Yeah, that world doesn't exist.
Right.
And honestly, if you don't have it, you kind of invent it. Like, right. My son is currently inventing drama on me. We're going to get to that later.
America.
While we're going to do this, I'm going to say, like, are you allowed to be mad at your kids?
Absolutely. Yep. No, absolutely. And so what I wanted to talk about is, like, there are times, though, that we have screwed up. And again, sure. we've talked about, like, the most common question we get is, are you afraid you're screwing up your kids? And yeah. we reply 100% yes. And I think most parents have that fear.
And
right?
there's no, yeah, it's yes, and there's no yes, but it's just yes. Mm-hmm. We are scared. We wake up every morning and we're worried about it. Sometimes it has to do with our jobs. Sometimes it has to do with just the way we're communicating with them. It's across all platforms. We are worried about it.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that people who aren't worried about screwing up their kids are more likely to screw up their kids.
So I had an incident this weekend, and there have been times, let me just say, where I've had to ask for forgiveness from my children. And I think up until recently, I'm like, oh, I'm the parent. They just have to deal with it. I'm like, no, I should actually apologize. There were a couple times I raised my voice unnecessarily. Like, I was in the middle of 14 things and got asked a question, and the wet towels on the floor are like my kryptonite, and I lost my mind. And so I had to be like, listen, I overreacted. Please accept my apology. There's an incident this weekend. So Lola's on this tennis team. And she's the only girl, and she's a great athlete, but she's a very not at this point. She's finding her confidence on a team full of boys, and I have a son, so I can say it's like my son. I could drop him off at a university right now, and he would pledge a fraternity within an hour and a half. He would probably be president of his class, because he can, like, raise his hand and he can be loud. Lola's not loud. Lola's not going to raise her hand, and Lola's not going to ask for anything. So I saw her during warmups, and you have to kind of insert yourself into, like, you have to, like, you basically, you play this game where if you lose a point, you leave the court and you go back in line.
Yeah, it's called King of the Court, and it is a very simple rotation through.
Yeah, like, and everybody gets to play.
Yeah.
So, like, the guy who was King of the Court lost the point, and so Lola ran to take his spot, and he didn't move, and he lost a point to somebody else. That person moved in front of her.
And let me guess, not only did he not move, he completely...
He ignored the fact
that... Yeah, he didn't acknowledge the existence
of this girl. That he lost the point to the girl. And so... And it, by the way, these are the sweetest kids, but they count on the person just running in, and she didn't run in.
Right.
So I'm not going to blame these boys 100%. But then he lost a point to a boy. That boy ran over and got in front of Lola. And I was... That set off so many sirens in my brain that, like...
Let's talk about the sirens. What were the sirens?
That I had not... By the way, my kids could lose every single tennis match. I give no cares. I don't understand the rules of tennis. I never played tennis. If they want to be successful tennis players, I'll get you some lessons, but it doesn't matter to me if they're successful.
You don't care if they win or lose.
I don't.
You and I are both big proponents of just effort and body language.
Effort. Just try your hardest. If you're painting a picture or playing tennis, try your hardest. So the sirens in my brain, this is a warm up, so there's, like, no points on the line. The sirens in my brain were, you were letting a dude that's a foot shorter than you take advantage of you right now, and you're just being quiet about it, and so you're not getting warmed up for this, like, important match, which you need to be, like, whatever. And I never do this, but something took over my body. And tennis is that sport where, like, the parents can't say anything. There's, like, no noise. Right. It's so annoying. So I stood up. I was like, Lola, get in there. And I, like, yelled at her.
During warm-ups.
During warm-ups.
Which during warm-ups, which by the way was a game. It wasn't actual warm-ups or like when you
No, it was just them,
this was a game. They were playing a game.
It was before. A game, yeah. A silly game.
Like a fun game.
That like a 12 and under tennis team was playing. And I was like, get in it, because I saw her being taken advantage of. Her teenage dating life was flashing before me.
Yeah.
It was, and I came out of my body. I did it. And the minute I did, I was like, oh, crap. And she looked at me. She was embarrassed. She had tears in her. She was just really embarrassed. And it was embarrassing. So they finished the warm-ups. She comes over to me, and she's like, Mom. I was on deck. I was whatever. I'm like, no, honey, they were passing in front of you. She's like, no, they weren't. I'm like, I watched it happen. I'm like, here's the thing. I needed to let you experience that. And I needed to let you, like, I needed to let that happen. And I am sorry. I am sorry. And I really hope you can forgive me. And she's, and then like within a minute, she was fine. She handled it with much more grace than I did. I wanted to crawl into a hole and just not, it was bad. It was bad.
And I wasn't there, but I have some theories about this.
Okay.
I have some theories. It's interesting. You said that her teenage life was passing, her dating life was kind of flashing before your eyes, because we're kind of getting there. We're not there. But we're getting there. Like, she's a middle schooler now. Like, these things are going to start happening. So I do think, if I may put my Dr. Phil suit on.
Please, but you have to talk like Dr. Phil.
You are about to enter a season of parenthood that you're not used to, all right? The feelings that you're used to her having are lovey-dovey, you know, sweet little feelings. She's becoming a woman now. And she's going to have different feelings, which means you're going to have different feelings. Right?
Right.
And so, there's a little bit of that. Here's my other observation. Whether or not you embarrassed her, I still think it's okay that you did that. Because the reasoning behind it was a pure, strong reason. I mean, you did it wrong.
I did it wrong.
You did it wrong. But don't you think Lola, I mean, I could see Lola somewhere down the road doing something great and sticking up for herself and someone saying, boy, how did you do that? And the answer was, well, my mom taught me at a very early age that you have to stand up for yourself. She did a weird job teaching it to me, but she taught me. And a lot of times those things stick better than other ways to do it.
I don't know. I just know that I feel like I'm on the record with Lola right now, meaning she's going to remember all this stuff. There's a chance our son's 9. There's a chance he remembers nothing that's going to happen right now. But I feel like I'm on the record. You know, 12 is a big, it's a big time.
It's big time for everyone. We're all feeling 12.
Yes. So I think that as a parent, I needed to admit I was wrong, which I did. I apologized, and I think what works best for me in an apology is never say, but. Never say, I'm sorry, but. So I didn't say, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Lola. But you were just being stuck over the little bit. No, I said, I'm really, really sorry. And then I like to say, how I'm going to avoid this in the future. So what I said, and I did this, I'm like, I'm going to sit so far away from your tennis matches that even if I involuntarily, the demons and sirens start going off in my brain about a bad call or something like that, then I'm not even tempted to yell and scream. And then I asked her for forgiveness, and she's a gracious, lovely human. And then within 30 seconds, she was over it, which is not something I really possess. Like, the forgiveness thing I struggle with.
I'm sitting here hearing this and saying, like, I don't know that you and I have had a conversation that successful.
I think that it's easier to ask. It's easier to do this with your kids than your partner.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you got in your little notes over there?
I have several. I want to stay on this just a little bit longer.
Okay.
I would like to, first of all, add yoga outfits as a +3 or a +4. Because I was thinking about that. Those are great, especially the more recent ones that are stringy and kind of, those are like a +2 or a +3.
Okay.
I think for the most part.
So some athleisure.
Yeah.
Note to self, head into Lululemon right after this.
I mean, you've got plenty of them. So, but those are good.
Okay.
Those are good. All right. And then like a women's basketball uniform is like a -3.
Why?
They just they don't flatter any part. They're made for men, and somebody put them on a woman, I think.
Well, they're comfortable and aerodynamic. No, but they can play basketball. Yeah, you wanted me to play basketball in a thong?
No, I don't. I'm just saying, why are you getting upset about this? I'm saying this based on looking at like a WNBA athlete and then seeing her in a dress and saying, good God, she's a knockout. I never would have seen that in long, baggy shorts.
I'll let it ride.
Okay, thank you.
I'll let it ride.
Okay. We're still playing the game. All right, so tennis. Right? It's like, it's great for our kids. It's teaching them all these lessons. It may be the worst sport ever on parents.
Yeah.
Because it's not just you. We go to these tournaments and everyone has another, a different coping.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mechanism on how they get through. Like, some of them don't look. They're all wearing sunglasses. I think a lot of the moms wear sunglasses because they close their eyes.
Mm-hmm. I do that.
Yeah, and walk away sometimes. And it's just hard to watch because you see them make a mistake and you're like, oh, why did they do that? Which, by the way, tennis is hard. Like, everyone makes a lot of mistakes when they're doing it. And they're the only ones out there, so it's not like they have teammates who can kind of...
I keep asking my kids, are you sure you don't want to do musical theater?
They really like it, you know?
Let's do musical theater.
I like, pat on the back for you for getting them in that sport and for coping in any way you can and for apologizing and all that stuff. So, good job.
Thanks, hon.
Good job. So, I started my list... And I'm sure I'm going to think of some other ones, but some of these are just little things that I'm learning from you. But I was really impressed. Like, I was holding hands with my daughter, and she's growing. And so she wants to play basketball. She wants to be an athlete. She wants to play tennis. And I grabbed her hand. Her hands have gotten very big, like mine. I'm very proud of the fact that I have big hands. They allow me to grip things and not drop things, and they're awesome. They're
not drop things.
Yes, they're awesome. Like, you seem to like it when I like you like people like my hands.
Oh, it's a family show.
People like my hands, and so I was like, Lola, your hands are getting really big. That's awesome.
No, you said your hands are giant.
Okay, your hands. Okay, so you were there, right?
Yeah, right. I was
there. And. I was thinking, man, that's look at you paying a compliment to your daughter. You're going to get points for that. And Kim was walking near me and turned around and shot me a look that I can only describe as death stare. There's got to be a better term for it, but
lasers could come out of my eyes, you would have more hands.
Kim has very expressive eyes, and she knows when to use them. And I was immediately confused because I was complimenting my daughter. And I don't even think we waited until she was out of earshot, but we may have. And you pulled me aside and said, you can't ever say anything about a woman's body that's big, ever.
Ever. Well, that's giant. You can't describe it as, and this, like, we can unpack it for a second, because it, you are absolutely right, because you were like, if I said that about my son, then it, what's the harm?
Right. That was my defense.
And I agree. I 100% agree that we should be using the same language, because I think body issues aren't just for women. Like, boys and men, it's documented, have their own set of body issues. But women and little girls seem to be born in with body issues. And Lola's very tall. She's 12 and she's 5'7". She loves being tall. And we praise her size, like we, and I always say, claim your space, girl, shoulders back, claim your space. And I want her to love how big her hands are, and I want her, but I know, because I see her, she shrugs her shoulders down, she tries to be the size
she
of
tries
friends.
To be smaller,
she tries to be smaller, she, because her friends are smaller,
not knowing that if she just put her shoulders back, she is a knockout.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, and like, that's not even it. She just wants to be, you want to fit in with your pack, right? Like, right. That's like, and that's just like your genetic makeup. You want to, and it, especially at this age, you don't want to stand out. And she stands out. And it doesn't seem to bother, her height doesn't seem to bother her. But I know she has asked me enough about, like, is this normal? Is this right? And I've, you know, like, she's, you know, we go to the doctor's office and they weigh her, and she's like, that's so much. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's perfect. You're perfect. It doesn't matter. That doesn't, like, I wish that, like, they wouldn't even present that number on a scale. It's just because it doesn't matter, you know? And I get that it's a double standard, but there have been moments, and you've said it a couple times out of just pure joy of your daughter having this great size.
Right, and she's getting it from me. So I'm kind of I'm almost like saying, you're tracking my weight. And she wants to be tall. She told me she wants to be six feet tall.
But like being a giant, for some reason hearing
the term giant.
Giant as a woman.
Yeah.
It does this weird thing in our brains that I don't quite understand. But I want to solve it, but I don't think solving it on my 12-year-old right now is going to work.
It's so funny. So I can't, this isn't funny. You know how you say what, it's so funny. And then
you know, it's so funny.
I never got to know my dad. Like, people say that all the time.
Yeah.
There was a Simpsons episode where they, like, Marge said, you know what's funny? I never really got to know my dad. And Homer goes, that is funny.
That's hilarious.
Poking fun at the fact that why do we use that line when we, so you know, what's bizarre is where this podcast is on how to apologize for that. I can't even bring it up. So like, I didn't apologize. I just laid out and learned never to do it again, because if I did apologize for it, it brings it back full circle, which is also, I want to keep talking about this because it is this, it's this taboo thing that shouldn't be taboo. Because you can't even apologize for it.
So I'll add to this. So you were holding her hand. You said, your hands are giant. And then she took her hand out and she looked at her hands.
Yeah.
So her reaction was not a positive one.
No.
So that's that. And I should have added that. Like, it wasn't as if she was like, yeah, fist pump. It was, oh my God, they are? So it was like this question mark.
I was immediately, I didn't argue with the fact that I affected her. I argued with the ridiculousness of the world, and which is a weird argument.
I know, but you're never going to understand it because you didn't, you know, you weren't subjected to just... we're putting together Dr. Harriet Hansel, who's been on this podcast a couple times. I'm working with her to come up with this online video program to talk about, like, health and wellness. And the goal, I think the side effect of it is going to be, people will probably lose weight if they follow this plan. But the side effect is, like, you're going to feel really good. And so that is the language we've always used. And I don't think there's such a huge diet culture. I go onto Facebook and I think also because I've been doing a lot of research, but all these targeted ads, like, everything is like weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. I'm like, guys, no, like, everybody goes up and down, and like, you know what to do if you want to lose a few pounds here and there. I don't know. Women are subjected to it. Girls are subjected to it. The media she's consuming, everything. It's a lot. And so, rant over. Sorry. That was a lot.
That's okay. Well, bottom line, it's very difficult to reconcile.
Yes. That.
I just have to shut up.
Well, choose your words.
Yeah, but we're talking about like forgiving and apologizing, and you can't apologize because you bring it back up.
Yeah.
I can't say, Lola, I'm sorry I called your hands giant. They are really, you know, what I meant was that you're big. I mean, you're growing and you're tall. You're bigger. You're bigger than some, but you wanted to be tall. Yeah. And so and big hands are great. Like that's yeah, just digging a bigger hole.
Yeah.
So at some point, what I'm saying is you just screw up your kids and you move on.
Yep.
Okay, what's your next one?
Oh, I kind of...
You have one?
Of my examples of when I've screwed up my kids?
Yeah.
And that's it. I've only done it once.
Do you want me to keep going? I've got plenty of them.
No, I know I have. I know. I told you. Like, I've snapped sometimes. Okay, what else you got?
Well, I mean, you said snap. I am still working on this, but I'm sure I'm screwing my kids up by... not flying off the handle, but getting frustrated when they don't understand things that I understand.
There's a whole frontal lobe thing that's not happening yet with them. It's still growing. Their cognitive just abilities and are just not there.
I hear you. This is the second time today you've quoted the frontal lobe. You're becoming a brain expert.
We're changing the tone of this podcast to neuroscience.
Would you please give me your expert opinion on the frontal lobe?
What do you got, Holderness?
I don't know.
Mansplain.
No, I want you to mansplain it to me. I don't know what the heck a frontal lobe is. What is it?
What is your issue? And I'll diagnose it.
Are you going to Google it while I'm talking?
No.
Okay. I was blessed with the ability to do math like it's not even a problem. It's the numbers.
Like
just,
it's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly. The numbers just kind of arrange themselves in my brain, and mm-hmm. it's always like I have math trophies.
Yeah, they're bigger than his sports trophies.
Way bigger.
His math trophies are huge.
I think it was the first portmanteau ever created, mathlete. And I mean, you were talking about like persecution in high school for things. I was a mathlete. Okay,
the ladies yeah. must have loved it.
And so math is really easy to me, and math is really easy to my son.
Yeah,
he's got it. So it's just kind of like let's move along here. Yeah. Math isn't easy for Lola. It's just not. I think she's yet to find her discipline in math that makes sense to her. I'm actually very hopeful that once we get to like spatial math, like geometry. Because she is so good at shapes and things in front of her that it's going to get easier, and that's coming soon. But for now, just having to take a number or a value that has no real actual meaning or function and manipulating it over and over again is really tough for her.
Mm-hmm.
And simple things like long division, where she asks me, she's like, teach me this. She goes in, you know, I don't say it out loud, but like, that's what school's for, honey. But okay, it's my turn to teach her math. And I get really impatient because I expect her to have the same brain that I do.
Right.
And I say things like, I just said that, or we just did this,
mm-hmm.
or this really isn't that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all super condescending things to say to someone who just asked you for help.
Mm-hmm.
But in that framework of someone asking me for help where I don't understand why they're not getting it,
mm-hmm.
I say some crappy, like the way that I'm saying things is really crappy. And I checked myself pretty early on this, and I'm getting better at it, but it still kind of rears its ugly head.
And what we've done too, I think we all realized that math was a thing, so we've outsourced it, so we have a lovely tutor now. Because it was affecting our family life in that this wonderful human we pay to be patient and you did realize that like I think I pointed out like it's not her fault like you get it but like I remember being in third grade and crying right. about long division like I remember. Being in class and sitting there going, and all the other kids got it. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like this, you just did magic in these numbers and I don't get it. So I can identify with where Lola sits. So somebody saying like, we just went over this. Like, yeah, it doesn't help.
And you know, what's interesting. So the way that we're talking about this, and I can even bring it kind of back to you and me and our dynamics with our kids, when it's something that you didn't experience, you have a tougher time with it.
Yeah.
When it's something that you have experienced, you kind of look at me and say, okay, give this a beat. Let's move on. And I think we have that issue with both of our kids. I don't want to just say it's Lola, because when I was a kid, up until, man, I feel like it even happened to me at least a couple of times in middle school. I would flood emotionally to the point that I would get, like, I was very sensitive and I would cry at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. I just would. It was embarrassing. It took me a while to get rid of. I didn't know why I was doing it and I couldn't stop it, right? It just happened. And I, like, so Penn Charles has that. He's very sensitive. He's like, he's yeah. gleeful and happy and amazing. And then he'll get
flood.
He'll flood and he'll cry. And I see you getting frustrated when you see him cry. Like, man, why does he keep crying like
yeah.
this? And it's, by the way, it's frustrating for me, but at least I have the frame of reference to, like, that's me
yeah.
right there. And I can reconcile it and move on and say, that's me. I got better. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. And I love how sweet and sensitive you are. So, yeah.
But would you agree that it's, for yeah. a parent, when you're worried about screwing up your kids, it's easier to get frustrated about things where you have no frame of reference because Absolutely. It wasn't part of your DNA?
And I feel like we're talking a lot about how we're screwing up Lola, because we do, and we have called her our first pancake, because you know the first pancake, you never quite get it right. So I feel like she's our first pancake, and that's like where we're doing a majority of our screw up.
Yeah, I mean, this topic is how we're screwing up our kids. We're not talking about all of her victories. Like, she's become a really exceptional athlete. She's the funniest person in our household, and she probably,
without a doubt.
She probably, despite the fact that she's like going through changes that are going to turn her into a woman, is the most level-headed.
She's very level-headed. I know.
That's why she's so good at tennis. I'm going to bring it back to tennis one more time. No, seriously. They're like, you watch all these people she's playing lose their minds because they're getting frustrated, and like all of this adversity is something new to them, and Lola like swims in it.
Yeah.
She thrives in it. She's going to be such a great under pressure whatever it is that she does. Which is such a rare talent.
Yeah. How else are we, like, what else is she going to tell the therapist when she's sitting on the couch when she's like 10 years from now? By the way, we've totally taken our kids to therapy, just for check-ins. We believe in uh-huh. marriage counseling, and we believe in, like, we just do some check-ins. So our kids have already experienced that.
I mean, there's the elephant in the room that they're both going to say, like, my parents put me on camera and I, you know, all yeah. of a sudden people know us and want our autographs, and that changed my life. Like yeah. that could totally screw up our kids.
Yeah, and I'm prepared for that, and that we have these savings accounts. So any money we make on, like, if they're in a video where it's like, you know, where we're discussing with a brand, like, they get a portion of it. So I'm hoping that I can buy their love and affection with
well,
that.
Well, would also love to specify that in those videos we and there are contracts in those videos, particularly if we're doing them for brands. It's explicitly written and understood that the kids are not a guaranteed part of the video.
Yeah.
If they don't feel like doing a video, we have never forced them to do one. They actually if you watch our videos, they're kind of fun.
Right.
So we've never run into that, but it's something that we're very careful about, because what if, you know, Lola's like, look, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm a teenager. Or Penn Charles is like, look.
Well, we're having the opposite right now, that they both went their own YouTube channel. And we interviewed Mindy McKnight about just this like whole digital social thing. And she's like this YouTube matriarch, and her children have successful channels now. They're like really OG YouTube. And she's like, I followed the rules of the platforms, which is 13. And so Lola wants her own YouTube channel. I'm like, nope, Mindy McKnight said 13. So my niece, Bianca, who I've talked about, has like worked for us. And so they've shot a few videos together. I'm like, we'll just put them on our YouTube channel, like on our like vlog channel.
Right.
And that can be yours. Like, take it. You guys do whatever you want to over there. So they do want the ability to kind of, and I don't think they're emotionally ready, but they, to the point where they, I would say beg. They've begged yeah. us to do their own videos, like their own. They always come up with stuff. And yeah. I'm like, fine, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
we'll help you. But.
Right. When it comes down to them actually having to do it, it involves work. Right. And we don't make them really work when we're doing our videos, which right. I think is fair. They have to do some work when it comes to their videos. And that is where they have stopped.
Yeah. So I'm like,
so
if you want to do this as a super duper slime video, that's a great idea. Make a list of supplies and we'll go to Target and get them. Like, I'll do that part, but you have to do the work of like, yeah. tell me what you need. And that's where it stops.
Well, with the exception, I will say that, and I need to go online for it, but every time I see Lola and her friends like out back. They're making something called a TikTok video.
TikTok?
Yeah.
TikTok.
And the ones that I've seen are really well produced and clever and funny.
She's really
and
good.
Super age appropriate. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Because
I don't like the 12-year-olds like posing inappropriately. And I don't see any of that with her, which is great. But so it is happening. But no, back to it. So it's not yes, but am I worried that this life and this career that we have and this exposure that kind of at first was unintentional, but then we decided to make it intentional because we enjoyed doing it. Like, is this screwing up our kids? And the answer is maybe.
Yeah.
And I got nothing else. The only qualifier I'll say is that we spend more time together than we used to. And we can be there for each other more emotionally than we used to be able to because of the freedom that this job gives us and because of the adventure that it lets us go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's given us opportunities to take them places that they would never otherwise be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that helps when they're in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That they can, I think if they can see that we're really trying, it's going to help them as adults.
So. Yeah. Cause listening as I started with that coaching session, it 100% they're like, well, my parents did this and my parents did that. And they never let me fail. I'm like, oh,
wait a minute. They never let me fail was their complaint.
There was one person.
Oh, I see. So
they fixed everything so once, for them. And okay. I could see that. Like,
we have that argument every single day when it comes to homework.
Yeah.
With our kids. Like, do we fix it for them or do we let them like get a C?
Or no, do you help them fix it?
Right.
Yeah.
We still don't know the answer to that one.
If
anyone has a solution to that one, please let us know. Yeah. Is it better to fix your kids' homework or to let them
get it wrong? By the way, fix. No. You say, okay, no, that's not right. Here, like, let's.
No, it's not like you go write it down. You say, okay, what happened here? Okay, do you want to try again? But it's still basically making sure they get it right when they turn it in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the solution to that. Do you want me to do more stuff I've done to screw up my kids?
Yeah. What do I have here? It's a long list over there. Hold on.
Well, I went by that one. Big hands. That was not smart.
Big hands.
The video. I mean, we keep talking about the videos. Can you think of any particular moments when we were in the production and creation of these things where you could tell that it was affecting our kids? Because I can think of a couple of situations, but I don't know what to make of them.
That one in LA that we did, that they were like on the set for way too long.
Right. And that, I mean, that took learning. But the way that we make videos is different from when we put it in the hands of other people.
Yeah.
And we learned, it's actually kind of shocking, that the normal outside of our family is 6 to 10 hours of work, like real work for children who want to be in the business.
Yeah.
And
legally, you can't do that.
But they get around it.
Yeah.
Like, they find ways to make sure, because you have to get every shot right. And these shoot days, I mean, I remember this from when I was at HGTV, the shoot days were like 12 hours long.
Yeah.
And everybody else was like, this is the way it is. And I'm like,
we did a shoot back in December or November, November, December for the CW. It was for a production company. They were great, but they weren't used to working with kids.
And our kids weren't used to working 12 hours.
And here's the thing. Our kids really wanted to be in every single shot.
Yeah.
And as parents, we had to say, and we had to get kind of firm, because we're like, this is illegal.
Right.
Like, they need to not be here in the show. And our kids really wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so, but we had to shut it. So we had the production company mad at us, and we had our kids mad at us, because we're like, guys, we got here at 7 a.m. It's 7 p.m. Our kids are still here, but they can go like zone out or read a book or be on an iPad or watch something.
Yeah.
But like, they're still here. And this is, so we shut it down. So.
And by the way, they said, okay.
Yeah. No, they did. Oh, the production company was very interesting. They were.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have said they were mad, but it was like, it was new to them. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, not just that, but even when we're shooting around the house, something that I've noticed is that our son, who's very smart, is aware when we have something that's kind of important that we're doing, like an important video. And he's aware that, like, we'd love him to be in it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to. And it seems to me he's picked up on this, and immediately when he realizes that he is important and needed, is able to milk it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he'll get overly moody or just kind of like, not throw a fit, but just kind of sulk or do something that he wouldn't normally do. And I'm like, oh gosh, what's happening to him? And then 5 seconds later, he's okay. But I'm really trying to break down this, because I was worried, like, is it that he doesn't want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the attention? Because our solution always, I don't know if it's a solution, but what we do is like, okay, look, we're going to move on without you.
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes, he's like jumping into the camera.
Yeah.
Like ready to go.
It's attention. We all want attention. We all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. And like, he just needs to like know his place, which is like, I'm the boss of this situation.
Right. Right. He's 9 now. We started doing this when he was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the issues were different then. The awareness was different. Like Pinchrolls didn't know what YouTube was when we started doing this. Ask any 9-year-old. That's all they do now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he does. So being part of the community and also being part of the community, like something that people watch and consume, that's like a different perspective for him. So mm-hmm. we're always trying to figure out and learn more. That's why it was great to talk to Mindy about how to make that work. And we're also just constantly thinking, okay, maybe this is where they go completely bonkers and we get blamed for all of their problems.
Yeah.
Because it could happen.
I'm ready for it.
Are you?
Yeah.
So this is the time in the podcast when I can tell that my wife is out of words.
No, I think that, you know, this was all about like when to apologize to your kids and how to apologize to your kids. And I feel like we have had to learn that, yes, we need to, there are moments we need to apologize.
Yeah.
And then moments when they need to grow up and stand up for themselves.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's moments when your kids need to apologize to you? That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about that.
Oh, like daily. I would love an apology.
Yeah. I'm currently in a fight with my 9-year-old, if that's possible.
Yes, you are. It's so funny. I had to talk them both off a ledge this morning. I just thought of another +5 for a man.
Oh, good. We should end with that.
Yes. Cleaning. When you're cleaning, it is so hot.
So, like, what kind of cleaning? Not like anything. Not like plumber crack under the sink, but
I mean, if the sink is leaking, like if you have a vacuum, if you're dusting, I've never seen you dust a thing in my entire life. Folding laundry. I mean, it is sexy. It works for me. Like, I'm not everybody.
Noted. Wait a minute. Are you just saying this because you want me to clean more? Or are you serious?
I know I'm serious.
Okay. So it actually does.
It works.
It's a +5.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to clean more. I'm not really sure how to respond to this, but yeah.
But that it probably doesn't work for everybody.
I feel like I want to know more of your minuses. Like, what would those be?
I don't know.
You don't have anything?
I'm trying to think.
Like doctor... is a doctor? No, I'm going to say it's like a lab coat. Is that a plus?
I mean, maybe.
I know what one minus is for you. You do not like it when I wear bow ties.
I like bow ties.
Like, you're okay with tuxedos. Like, you're okay with a tuxedo bow tie, but like a bright bow tie instead of a necktie, you're not a fan.
It's not that I'm not a fan. It's not my favorite on you.
What's a tuxedo?
It's pretty hot. It's a plus a couple.
But not as much as cleaning.
Not as much as cleaning.
Fireman.
Or flight suit.
flight suit is just whatever it is, it turns into a 10.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of minuses. I think.
I want to talk about this. Didn't you say that like Jon Snow, like in character, is a +7 over Kit Harington just hanging out at a grocery store?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Jon Snow, I think like there's something about like Valyrian steel. This is Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah, there's no spoilers.
Yeah, with big sword and covered in like fur.
And stubble.
And then Kit Harington picking out apples in the produce section. It's different.
Right. And you almost want to say Kit, because you just...
Kit.
Could you please change
it? Just like wrap it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I have other minuses?
I'm not hearing very many. No. Apparently, a lot of things turn you on. So
stop it. Now I'm talking like there's the base level, and then what will like boost?
Like a European Speedo bathing suit. I guess it depends on who's wearing it.
I know
it, right?
Exactly.
Like if it's Daniel Craig.
Yeah. Yeah. I
pop
agree.
It out of the ocean, you're good.
I'm good. If it's. Yeah. If it's the average male, probably a minus.
Probably not. All right. I think we should bail on this.
Okay.
Because we're not coming up with any more ideas. Do you wanna wrap it up? And while you're doing it, I'm gonna Google like plus minus. I don't even know what to Google here.
I'm afraid where Google's gonna take you. So this was a very rambly podcast.
Not really. No, this is like we've had ramblier podcasts.
Have we had ramblier podcasts? Yeah. But it's our favorite. It's our favorite. We get to like sit and talk to each other and we can marriage together. And yeah, it's my favorite. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. When you subscribe, it really helps people find our podcast. We have a podcast group. We have a newsletter. There are so many just self-indulgent ways we have chosen to express ourselves over the internet. And we thank you for finding us on this little corner.
And please feel free to comment on these. We have this great podcast group that gives us comments all the time. It doesn't just have to be you guys. Go to our Facebook page, check out the link to the podcast and join the conversation because we love hearing your input about all of these things, especially this. Like we need to learn more about this.
And soon Facebook will allow us to again reply to you.
We hope that the war on Facebook is over by the time this airs. It's been a very long night.
It's
like us versus the White Walkers. But
it's another. We are so obsessed with Game of Thrones.
Not even close. It's getting really good. Okay. People were banging on the last episode. I thought it was amazing.
I think they're trying to squeeze a lot into like two episodes.
So
I think
what?
This needs to be that's an entire season.
That's what you have to do.
No, they don't. They're
look
HBO.
Look at the last season of Parks and Recreation.
Okay, different.
Why?
No,
it's not TV. It's HBO. Are we going to say something like that?
No, but like they're HBO. They could do 12 episodes.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.